Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it is to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Go do it. I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for being here. It's just an honor for me to be part of your day and for you to spend some time with us. I want you to know that I mean that sincerely. Thank you for allowing me to do what I do. It's just, I can't imagine having a better job than to be able to talk to small business owners every day and to introduce them to some really smart people, our brain trusts, and let them hear some of the wisdom that they have, some of the things that they've learned, some of the best practices that they offer, and the, just the things that they know, and for you to get to know them on a really a personal level. That's one of the things we try to do here when we introduce you to our Brain Trust members and to new people, is to let you hear them as they really are, as the human beings that they are. And one of those great human beings that we've gotten to know over the last several years is our good friend Don, the author of Fat City, the chief political reporter for the Washington Times, and as I said, he's a great American. Don Lambro, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim.
It's good to be back.
I appreciate being asked back.
Well, you're always welcome on this show. And also, folks, many of you read Don's column. He's syndicated in dozens of papers around the country. Many of you already know Don very well, besides all the times you've heard him on the show. Don, the Washington Times is... obviously, the New York Times is in New York, and so, and I know that they're kind of a competing newspaper because your paper is sort of a national paper, and theirs is definitely a national paper. But they're in this, they're in the controversial spotlight right now over something that they did. Now, an insider is sort of but as a political insider, walk us through, if you don't mind, what the Washington Times did. The New York Times did. With regard to this leak case of a government practice to fight terrorism, walk us through what they did, why they made the decision that they did, and then I'll get your opinion about whether they did the right thing.
Well, first and foremost, they decided very quickly after 9/11 the number of the areas that they had to focus on to defeat the terrorists. The administration, that's right, happening again, certainly on the national security and going after the terrorists here, abroad, and in the Middle East, and of course Afghanistan and Iraq. But at the top of the list, or very close to the top of the list, certainly was they had to dry up something for the global terrorist threat. And that means they had to look into various financial transactions around the world. And that means going to the source of those financial transactions, banking records. Mm-hmm. They have been doing that since 9/11.
Successfully,
absolutely. This is one of the major weapons preventing the terrorists from hitting us again. And, of course, the proof is in the pudding and in the security that we've enjoyed ever since 9/11.
Mm. There have been some
big hitters. Thing, and Congress has been apprised of it. The key people in Congress have been apprised of it. It is certainly done under the law by the Bush administration. It's been vetted up one side, down the other, in the Justice Department and legal experts. It is perfectly legal, and it is part of the terrorist finance tracking program, is what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
It has been basically under wraps until this past week or so. Three news organizations, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and the Los Angeles Times, revealed the existence of this program, helping the terrorists, as President Bush said yesterday, and hurting American security. There's no reason for them to reveal this. And
what did they reveal that? And of course, the program has been called secret. secret. But I guess I always knew that they were doing it. I didn't know exactly how they were doing it. But what did the Times reveal that was so damaging?
Well, specifically clear. What they revealed was the existence of the program and that they were doing this. And the fact that there are big money people in the terrorist movement mm-hmm. in the Middle East,
huge,
in other countries, here. So revealing this program and its breadth and other details has hurt this country.
Did you consider that report to be gratuitous?
I certainly do. I don't think it was necessary.
When we get back, I'm going to ask Don if he thinks that prosecution should be pursued and if it would do any good. We're going to talk about that right after these messages. Don is with the Washington Times, one of those other times. It's an outstanding paper, and it's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 17. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Smallbusinessadvocate.com. Subscribe to my free newsletter if you haven't already. If you have, you don't have to do it again. We'll keep sending you the newsletter, which comes to you by email on Sunday, every Sunday afternoon, approximately 2:30 Eastern Time. It starts winding its way to people all over the world, actually. We have subscribers to the newsletter from all over the world. And so we appreciate those people, thousands and thousands of subscribers who take the letter every week. And also our blog, you can check it out on our website, we can send it to you. We will send it to you if you subscribe to that, which we'll show you how to do when you get to our site. So I hope you'll check it out and all the other things to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful, including some of the past interviews we've done with our good friend Don Lambro. And this one that we're doing today, if you want to go back and listen to Don's wisdom over and over again, we'll allow you to do that on our websites and on our website and in our blog. So check that out when you get a chance. Don is chief political reporter for the Washington Times. And we were talking, Don, about you were telling us about your thoughts on the New York Times and their recent, what many people consider to be a gratuitous release of really secret information on how the U.S. tracks money, how the U.S. follows the money to terrorists. There have been a number of high-level al-Qaeda terrorists who have been captured. Some operations have been thwarted as a result of this program that the New York Times released. And as I say, many people think it's gratuitous. Congressman King from New York wants the Times to be prosecuted. To be prosecuted. Don, what do you think?
Well, I think it would be better if we had an investigation went after the leakers. I don't think a prosecution of the newspapers, three of them, including the New York Times, is going to really yield anything. I mean, they are protected under the First Amendment to do even things like this. We don't have the laws they have in Great Britain where you can prosecute and convict media organizations for leaking things out of the government. That is protected for good or for ill by the First Amendment.
And, where would
go after the leakers, and I think the investigation should center.
How would a leak have gotten? I mean, who would leak something like that? What would be the reason for somebody to leak something like that? Is just people who are someone who works in the government that's mad at the administration, or what? Who would do that?
Well, it's a big government, and probably it came out of Treasury, and you have a lot of very good career people work in the government, but you have holdovers from previous administrations sometimes who
couldn't
work
it have
at
come
various
from the
levels
CIA?
Of bureaucracy, and they might leak it. It could have come from Capitol Hill because certain key chairmen knew about this program. Mm. And it probably may have come from some committee, some Democratic staffer on one of the committees.
Could it have come from the CIA?
Would they have known about that? There have been a number of, as you know, in the last few years, of CIA. They were at various positions in the Clinton administration and previous Democratic administrations, and of course,
Right.
I get it.
The CIA is not exactly entrenched with highly populated with people who like the current administration. I don't know what the problem is over there, but
it is not.
Anyway, it's very interesting. Well, I appreciate your thoughts on that. Thank you for sharing your thoughts on that. And what would the Washington Times have done with that information?
Oh, we would not have. We would not have run it. People like Bill Gertz, who's our military affairs intelligence reporter.
I've met him.
Broken a lot of stories, a lot of national security stories, and people like Don Rumsfeld and others have been happy with some of them, but he's never broken anything that in any way would endanger the security of the United States. And I know for a fact that he has a lot of stories that he has not reported because they just would endanger our national security, and he felt this is not information that would be useful in terms of a story, and has sat on it. So that's the way we would handle it. But the New York Times, they kind of see national security and the people who are running it in this country as the enemy, and they're out to get them.
And which is amazing to me, with them sitting right there at ground zero. That's pretty amazing to me. What do you think?
Amazing to me too, and to the president, who came out with both guns blazing yesterday at the White House, and said this was disgraceful, and really lit into the New York Times. So did Treasury Secretary Snow in a very strong a letter to the editor in chief at the New York Times. So the administration is going at this with both guns blazing, but we'll have to see what happens on Capitol Hill and what happens with the Justice Department. But there certainly will be an investigation, if one isn't already underway, to find out who the leaker is and to prosecute that person or those persons.
But do you think that none of it will accrue to the paper?
I don't think they're going to go after the newspaper. No.
Yeah. Very interesting. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Don, you're going to talk to us about some of the other things you're covering specifically yourself these days, and we'll do that right after these messages. It's almost 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as I say, Don Lambrou is our guest. Their website is WashingtonTimes.com, right, Don?
That's correct.
WashingtonTimes.com. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
With my New York brim and my gold tooth display, nobody give me trouble, cause they know I got it made. I'm bad, I'm nationwide.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mick Jagger and the Stones. Welcome back. It's 7-2. We're rocking and rolling with our good friend Don Lambrou, chief political reporter for the Washington Times, syndicated columnist. Many of you have seen his column around the nation and the dozens of papers that take his column. And Don, what are we going to read about this week?
Well, I've been covering a lot of political stories. There's not a lot of appetite, perhaps, for them, but we are in an election year, and following which way the political winds are going to blow in terms of the House and Senate races, and I just did a story on the governor's races, which are amazingly tight, and Democrats are in trouble in a lot of Democratic seats that they hold
in
a
Congress?
Number of key states.
In
so
Congress.
I've been covering that.
Are you talking about Congress or
I'm sorry, the governor's races.
The governor's races, yeah.
Although I think the Bush administration has had a pretty good 2 or 3 weeks. Even Democrats, campaign consultants and campaign election officials tell me that. With things improving in Iraq, getting Sakari, the government coming together, and a general feeling that he's doing a better job on that front. and improvements in the on the economic side. So I think that has helped the Republicans in the congressional races. I think they're going to hold the House and the Senate. The governorship races are interesting because that's where all the future leaders come from. And if you don't have a strong bench on the governors, you're going to not have a good chance at getting the presidency. That's where we choose most of our presidents. The Democrats have a very weak bench among the governors. And a lot of their big stars are in trouble in Michigan, in Wisconsin, in Oregon, in Illinois, where polls show them behind their Republican.
Well, the Republicans calendar. Now have, what, 26 houses, 26 governors?
There are 28
Republicans.
The Republicans now control 28 governorships to 22 for the Democrats. And the 28, they include the four biggest, of course, California, New York, Texas, and Florida. I think they're going to keep California with Schwarzenegger. He's really come back, I think, pretty strongly, and they're going to hold Texas and Florida, certainly. New York is a slam dunk for the Democrats because the Republicans don't really have a heavyweight candidate there. The Democrats have big stars in Michigan, where you have businessman Dick DeVos, the Republican, who's running against Jennifer Granholm.
I mean the Amway guy.
That's right, and she's in trouble because of the economy in Michigan. She's been fighting with the legislature, hasn't gotten anything through, and so Dick DeVos is ahead in Michigan. Of course, that's a big Democratic state,
right?
So it'd be a big victory for the Republicans to take that back from the Democrats.
And that could
that's a big story that people aren't focusing on. But and I noticed John Zogby came out with some new polling data on these governorship races and noted that in a number of places the Democrats are running behind, that the Republicans may do a lot better than the political prognosticators have given them credit for.
If they do grow or somehow increase or at least maintain their governorships, that could bode well for the Republicans in 08, couldn't it?
Oh, it certainly could, because it's important that you have the Republicans be in power in these state legislatures, because they have their own machinery and their own turnout organizations. So in key Midwestern states like Michigan and Wisconsin Iowa, where the Republicans are in a tight race there to take back that Democratic governorship, that would be enormously helpful to the Republicans, sure, in 08.
Don, you looked into your crystal ball and told us that you believe the House and the Senate will remain in the Republicans' hands. Dust it off a little bit more and tell us who's going to be the nominee for president on both houses, both parties 2 years from now.
The nominees, right now you'd have to say Hillary is the front runner, but she's very polarizing, and she's got a lot of enemies on the anti-war left-wing side of her party. But right now I think she would be the front runner, but you know, there could be, and I would say McCain, certainly right now with the front runner, he's hitting all the hot buttons. He's learned from his defeat against Bush in 2000. And right now I think the odds are that he would have to be the one. But
who's going
to
win?
George Romney is a sleeper in that.
Yep.
And I think you have to watch Romney and see.
Mitt Romney of Massachusetts, yeah. Governor of Massachusetts. Hey, thank you for being here, Don. Good job today, as always. And we appreciate your time and all you do for this country.
Jim, thanks for having me on.
Don Lambrow, ladies and gentlemen, chief political reporter with the Washington Times. You can find him at WashingtonTimes.com. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Tomorrow, I'm broadcasting from Chicago. I'll see you then.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.